This morning's scripture reading will be found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Thank you, Nico. Most of the thoughts this morning are going to come from the same chapter that Nico just read from, chapter 18 of Matthew. There's several different subjects in this chapter. Some of the biggest subjects you're going to find in that chapter are humility, offenses, judgment, and forgiveness. We're going to try to address some of these this morning, and actually all of these this morning, and I hope that you get something from this, can help you in your daily walk of life, can help you as Christians, and can help you to do what God wants you to do. And I've blown these up so my eyes can see without my glasses, but that we'll see how that works. Getting old, it kind of happens that way, but we'll try to see what we can do here. Have my glasses just in case, so you're okay on that. As Nico read in the first six verses of chapter 18, first of all, Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, they might have had different motives for this. Curiosity might have been one of these. Thinking about themselves a little bit might have been something like to deal with this. It might have been because of ambition. But anyway, they asked Christ, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called unto him a child, and he put a child in the midst of them. He had a purpose in this. If you think about a child has innocence. A child is simplistic. They have simplicity. A child is humble, as it talks about in verse 4. It says, Whosoever shall humble himself as a little child, that is what is the greatest. That type of person is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God wants us to be all, as Christians, to be a child, like a little child. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be teachable, because a little child just wants to know as many things as possible as soon as possible. Sometimes too many things, as we as parents find out. But they're very curious. They want to know more and more things. Very teachable. Jesus says in verse 5, Whoever receives such a little child in my name receives me. If we don't receive a child of God, we don't receive Christ. We don't accept Christ. And in verse 7, which I'd like to get into a little bit later, it talks about offending a little child. It talks about offending little ones that believe in him. And it would be better for them that a millstone or a big rock or however you look at that, however this, I haven't seen really a millstone lately, but something very heavy, heavy stone put around their neck, thrown into the water and drowned in the depth of the sea. Very important that what Christ is talking about here. If we're not like a little child, we can't make it to heaven. And I don't believe that Jesus is talking just about little children here. I think he's talking about any of his children. As Christians, we are children of God. Also in verse 10, we're going to go back and look at these other verses here a little bit later. It says, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of God. They have guardian angels that are always seeing God's face around God, and it shows the importance of two children of His to God. In verse 11, it talks about the Son of Man, or Christ, came down to save those who are lost. He came down to do as it says in the next part of this chapter, the parable of the lost sheep. He says, what do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them went away and ran into the mountains, one of them went astray, wouldn't he leave all the other sheep and go find that one that went astray? Verse 11, he says, he came to save that which was lost. This example of Christ wanting to save those who have gone astray. Verse 13, it says, if he finds that one sheep, he's happier at that moment than he is over the sheep that are already saved. Because it's a great thing for that sheep to turn around, it's a great thing for that sheep to be saved, to be found and to be back into the fold. In verse 14, it says, it is the will of God in heaven that not one of these little ones perish. God doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants us all to be saved. He knows we all have frailties. He knows we all have weaknesses. He knows they differ. He knows that each one of us is different. He's made us all different. But we all should be striving for to be in the fold. In the next part of it, it gets into the church discipline, or talking to somebody else who has wronged you. And I would just like to say at this point, this is something that's pretty serious, or should be something that's really serious that person has done. Something that they can lose their soul over. Something that is very serious that you need to talk to them about. It says, if your brother or sister trespass against you, go and tell them their fault. Go and talk to them about that. And if they don't accept what you say, and if you have scriptural background for this, and you should make sure that is the case, if you have scriptural background for this, you should talk to that person about that. And if they listen to you, you've gained your brother or sister. But if they don't hear you, you should take another person or more with you. It says one or two more witnesses. So they can also talk to this person. They can also see what's going on. And if that's not accepted, then that's when you turn it over to the church. This is how God wants us to handle these things. If you do that, and he or she doesn't listen, then the church is to treat them as a sinner or a heathen man and a publican. That's the time where it gets really serious, and they would be, as it says here, disfellowshipped. This is a pretty serious thing, and I don't say this to bring you down in any way. This is just the way God wants us to handle things if they get really serious between you and your brother or sister. He switches gears a little bit with here in the next couple of verses, in 18 and 19 and 20, where he talks to the disciples, and he says, and he knows he's talking about the Holy Ghost speaking through them. He says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever rules that you teach these people, the things that are going to be established through you, by me, through the Holy Ghost, that's going to be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose, the things that you say not necessary to do, that's going to be put into heaven also. However this is going to preach to these people in this manner by you, this is the way it's going to be in heaven. And he says that if just two or three, or just two of you agree in verse 19 on any particular thing, and this is talking about the disciples and establishing the church in this point, but Christ says here that God will answer that. If it's what God wants, he's going to answer that, and that will happen. It shall be done for them by God, it says, which is in heaven. And in verse 20 it says, where two or three people or disciples, Christians, are gathered together, he's going to be in the midst of them. No matter where that is, he's going to be in the midst of them. If they're trying to to study his word or whatever it may be. If they're trying to worship him, he'll be in the midst of them. Right here is where I'd like to jump back to the verses that we jumped over in the first part of chapter 18. And going back to verse 6, and I mentioned before, I don't believe this is just talking about little children. He used this little child because they have all the good aspects of what he's trying to bring out here. But it says in verse 6, who shall offend one of these? We talked about the millstone should be put around his head. It'd be better for that to happen and him thrown into the sea and drowned. If you offend just one of these little ones, if we offend another Christian, this also applies, doesn't it? Okay. If we offend another Christian, we have the same thing applied to us in this example here. In verse 7 it says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Okay, as we look at these verses here, I've had some things that I've been thinking about for some time. That I'd like to bring out. I'd like to use myself as an example here, if you'll bear with me. It's talking about offenses here and offending the children of God. Okay? What I would like to do, and before we get into forgiveness and the examples of that, I would like to go into this part of it. I'd like to use myself as an example here. If I have offended anyone here in any way, anything I've said or done in the past, and I'm sincere in saying this, I would like for you to forgive me right now. And I hope everybody else will either take care of that in whatever way you would like to do. Because it says, woe to those who cause offenses. And how great is it if we offend somebody in the church? I'm a human being, you're a human being, we make mistakes. We might say something and offend somebody, we may not even understand or know that we do that. We might know we do that and just kind of blow it off and not think about that. That was kind of a bad terminology, but we might just not think about that. So I would like to, at this time, ask your forgiveness for anything I've done to anybody here, anybody that's not here of the church. Because I know I've made mistakes in the past that I would not like to, I hope I never do again. But being human, we're going to find out that we're going to offend somebody even when we don't understand that we're offending them. But keep that fact in mind, because what I would like to now look at is in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 1 and 2. So begin with verses 1 and 2. It talks about the other side of this, and I think this is just as important that we realize, and I know you've seen these verses before. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Okay, and we're going to take these first two verses together, because I think verse 2 puts verse 1 where it should, and it's in the manner that it's intended. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, that shall be measured to you again. So what this is saying here, be careful. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else here. Be very careful. I caution you, and he's cautioning you here, to be very careful in how you judge others. Judge them by what the Bible says. Let the Bible judge them. Be careful how you say things to them. Be careful how you do things, how you judge, how you consider, and especially how you're offended. Be careful in that. Because how you do that will come back to you in the end. That's how God's going to judge you or me. In verses 3 through 5, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt... And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. It's telling us here to, we should understand we all have certain weaknesses. They differ in each and every one of us. He tells us to be humble here He tells us to be merciful to others. Before we look at the beam or the problems, Before we try to cast out the mote out of our brother or sister's eye, we're supposed to look at our own issues that we might have. We're supposed to look at our own weaknesses we might have. We're supposed to more or less look in the mirror and look at ourselves and think about, how are we actually trying to help that person? Is that going to help them by doing this a certain way or that a certain way? Be very careful on how we judge and how we're offended by others. I feel like in my own life that I've allowed that to happen many times. I think because of my physical makeup, it's easy for me to be judgmental, possibly easy to take offense at some things. I see that as a big weakness, and that's something that I'm trying to work on myself. And I hope that's something that this is not to try to downgrade anybody here. I hope it's just something that'll make you think about things before you are offended or before you judge others. Because remember that only through Christ can your faults and failures be forgiven. That's the only way our faults and failures can be forgiven. And I believe, and I think the Bible teaches us that a lot of offenses probably wouldn't happen at all to us if we weren't so quick to judge others on what they do or how they do it or why they do it. And if we had the love that we need to have for each other, these offenses probably wouldn't happen in the first place. We know there's serious things that have to be judged, and there's things that need to be addressed. But I think it's so important that we consider these verses here in chapter 7 of Matthew. Verse 21, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Till seven times?'" Do I just forgive him seven times? Jesus said, "No, I don't say unto you seven times. I say unto you 70 times seven." He's saying here, just keep on forgiving. If that person is willing to change their ways, keep on forgiving that person. It's a very important thing. And then it gets into the example here of forgiveness. For lack of time, I'm just kind of going to go through these without reading them. But here it's talking about the kingdom of heaven being likened unto this certain king. And this king had servants. And when he was looking over his money situation, he saw that there was a servant that owed him a lot of money. It says 10,000 talents here. And so he went to this man, and this man could not pay him. So he commanded that this servant be sold, and his wife and his kids and everything he had, so that money could be paid back. So this servant fell down and he begged him to forgive him, begged him to let him go. And this king had compassion on him, and so he let him go and he forgave him all the debt that he owed him. The next part of this, the same servant was forgiven and didn't have any more debt. He went out, and first thing he did was he went out and he found someone who owed him money, another servant, a fellow servant. Grabbed him by the throat. It says he grabbed him by the throat and told him, "Pay me everything you owe me now." And his fellow servant did the same thing with him as he did with the king. It says, "Please have mercy upon me, and I'll pay you everything I owe you as soon as I possibly can." Did he do the same thing? No, he didn't. He put him into jail until he would pay all the debt. He wasn't forgiving. Well, his other fellow servants saw what had happened, and they went back and they told the king. The king come back and talked to this servant, and he said, "You are a very wicked servant. How could you do such a thing after I just forgave you?" Everything was overlooked and forgiven by me for you. Did you forgive yourself? How hard would it have been for you to forgive this person? And this person just owed him a very small amount. So he was very angry, and he gave him to the tormentors. He was given to be tormented until he paid back all that he owed. And in verse 35 it says, that's the way God's going to be with us. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man, every one his brother or sister their trespasses. It's a very important thing here to God to be forgiving. Now, I understand, being human, that I'll probably do something in the future not meaning to that will be offensive in some manner to someone. And I'm hoping by what you read here that you'll have forgiveness in your heart for anything I may do or somebody may do to me. I'm hoping myself I will do the same thing, because it's a very serious thing to God to be forgiving. In closing, I'd like to read some other verses here that talk about the same thing that we talked about there. In Mark 11 and 25, we're going to have to break out the glasses on this one. Mark 11 and 25, it says, And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And in Luke 17 and 4, it says, And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And in Ephesians 4:32, it says, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says, Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Very good verses on this subject. Whatever thing that has been offensive to me, at this point, I forgive anybody here, anybody that's not here. And I hope you do the same thing for me. And I try to say that sincerely, because it's a very serious thing to God that we are forgiving, that we care about others, and that we show love one toward another. Because it's so easy, at least in my case, to take offenses by the littlest things, and that's not a good thing with God. That's not what He wants. That's not being as a little child. And then that's not truly coming to Him. So as we consider these verses and these thoughts, we're going to offer you the gospel invitation at this time. If you've done anything that's as a Christian, that has wronged the church, that you'd like to make right, or if you've made mistakes in your life you'd like to make right that have caused problems for others, if you have not accepted the gospel and are ready to take the steps necessary to salvation, we give you that opportunity at this time. If you'd like to place membership, or if we can help you in any way, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.